everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show. It's a very busy Wednesday, November 11th, 2020. The day America honors those who have served in the United States military. It is Veterans Day 2020 in the Green Things. Zocalo Village Studio, the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. First, let's go on the live line. Before we go to the Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Paul Cunningham, I want to get a quick update from Keith Rosenblum, the Buckmaster Border contributor, who's on the live line. Keith, how are you?
Bill, good morning, and good afternoon, right on the cusp. Good both to you.
Keith, I wondered, has Mexico joined with England, Canada, and Germany, many other nations, in wishing President-elect Biden well and acknowledging the victory?
Absolutely not. And this is the year, this seems to be the year and maybe the universe where conventions aren't followed anywhere. So I've been listening to President Lopez Obrador, as I do every day religiously, which shows what little life I have, between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. in his, what they call the mañanera, which is his live press conference every day for Mexico City. 5 days a week, he goes and talks and talks and talks. Anyway, the answer is no. He was quizzed in about 10 different ways by the Mexican press about this very issue, and he has the following to say, which actually makes a lot of sense. What Lopez Obrador says is that unless and until the American people have spoken and it has been so determined that there is a president, that he is not going to do it. And that is entirely consistent with Mexican foreign policy, which is to recognize, to not intervene, and to respect the wishes of populations outside of Mexico. It sounds kind of weird to say it that way, but that's how it reads. Anyway, as long as there's contention in American society, he says, he is not going to undermine what he considers to be undermine the democratic process by recognizing one or another, and that there is no rush to do so, and this is consistent. It's not the past. Mexico has frequently congratulated a president-elect, but there's never been the doubts within the borders of the United States about who that person is. And so Lopez Obrador, who actually is it's pretty much a popular voice that he was rooting for a Trump victory. But that notwithstanding, whether he was or not, what he's saying is that the Mexican Constitution, he actually goes and reads the article and the exact language, says it's a policy of non-interventionism, and he considers it that it would be premature for there to be a congratulations.
All right, Keith, I'm going to let you go. I just wanted to get that update from you.
And, my pleasure. And so
we don't know. He'll probably wait, I guess, till what, the Electoral College votes? Or
until there's a concession.
Oh,
which looks, maybe it sounds like the Electoral College will come long before that will ever happen.
All right. Keith Rosenblum, thank you very much, Keith.
My pleasure, Bill. Bye-bye.
All right, let's go now to the Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Paul Cunningham. Paul, how are you?
Great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Paul, I'm worried about these numbers, these cases. Huge spike in Arizona yesterday in the COVID cases. Over 3,000 cases for the first time since July. It's backed off a little bit over 2,000 today. Pima County yesterday, I think, was over 600 cases. That's down to around 100-something. What are your thoughts?
Well, you really want to go with the weekly ER number. That's the seven-day rolling average. That seven-day rolling average is really the daily case count you want to go with. That being said, our seven-day average has still been creeping up. We are in Pima County, fortunately, to be lower than the rest of the state. We are lower than the national average. We are actually lower on certain numbers than the national median. That doesn't mean we can't be vigilant in Tucson. We've been fortunate in that we've taken action in Tucson to slow the transmission rate. We've taken action in Tucson to be able to test widespread. We have a higher testing rate than the rest of the state, but that's not going to get us all the way there. We've really got to, we're probably looking at some more measures, unfortunately. And we've just got to be vigilant until the end of the tunnel, which is hopefully between Moderna, Regeneron, and now Pfizer. Hopefully we'll have some type of light at the end of the tunnel, and we'll know more between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then we'll have some type of plan together between Christmas and probably, I'd say, rodeo in Tucson terms, in which reopening and inoculating and just all the things that go with it begin.
Paul, let me let's bring us up to date now on some of these marquee events that we traditionally have here in Tucson. We kind of set our calendar by it. It kind of starts with the Fort Lowell shootout, which brings or has brought just thousands of people to Tucson. Is that event going forward?
I have not spoken to the organizers at this point. I know that when I last spoke to them, we were a little farther away. We hadn't had a second surge, and I think they were looking to do it. But again, there's so much uncertainty, Bill, and we've had situations where, you know, youth sports has kind of gone on. The Scorpions are playing football. There's been some Western basketball tournaments and things of that nature, but some of them are starting to get canceled because of the COVID spike in other places. And so a lot of that's not even up to us. I mean, a lot of it is you're going to have different entities saying, hey, you're not going to leave the state without quarantining for 10 days after you come back and stuff like that. So it may not, it may be out of our hands, but at this point, I think they should at least plan to have a plan. So if the numbers break and they can do it, great. But if they can't, you know, that'll be unfortunate. Whatever version of the Fort Lowell shootout we have, it won't be the version that we're used to.
And, of course, the GEM show follows that in late January, and we keep hearing that there will be some GEM shows because, really, it's a showcase. It's built around the granddaddy of them all, so to speak, the Tucson Convention Center event, which will not go on this year. But what are you hearing about perhaps some other shows?
Well, with GEM show, we gave them four or five different, like, philosophies. Philosophy A was, let's kind of see how the progress on the vaccine is, and maybe we can push off. And everybody's going to have a weird year anyway by calendar, and maybe we can make that the marquee year when we come back if the vaccine's taken time. Other philosophy was to have a social distancing with all the different countermeasures, masks, social distancing, but on the regular schedule. Another option was to have a different version of the GEM show where we did a lot of digital stuff. So we've given them different philosophies. And the really hard part is building a consensus on what those philosophies will look like. But I can say that no one in Tucson wants to shut down a GEM show because of the economic ramifications of shutting it down. But at the same time, you're talking about public health. You're talking about people's safety. And so you've got to be able to balance the two. And we've got to be thoughtful in the process that we take moving forward, as well as thoughtful in the decisions that we make.
Well, again, moving forward, then they've got the rodeo and the rodeo parade, which I don't know how many years the parade's been going on. Is it? I know it's over 75. It may be even longer than that. But what are you hearing now about that?
Well, again, it's a matter of, so then you're starting to get into late February. So there's a lot of speculation that in late February, maybe we have a Moderna vaccine. In late February, maybe we have the Eli Lilly antibodies have been approved. We're waiting. It's only a matter of days before the Regeneron antibodies are approved. And all of a sudden, and again, it's not going to happen at once. I mean, I don't think we're going to have a situation where we're going to go out and inoculate or vaccinate a million people in Pima County in one weekend. I think it's going to be kind of organic. It's going to be kind of anticlimactic, where it's going to be like this election. It's a slow moving process before we get to a clear cut decision. And it's going to be a slow moving process before we get a clear-cut, hey, we're open and it's safe. And I think come rodeo time, about that time, my best guess, is that that's when we're going to see this kind of maybe we can, maybe we can't. It'll be a toe-in-the-water situation. But I'll tell you this. If the vaccine's out and people are getting it, I think that the rodeo committee should throw one together.
Right, right. Well, the verdict is in on Mona's Danish Bakery, Paul, and the verdict is it is the place to go to get your pies and all of your dinner rolls for Thanksgiving. They're taking orders right now. Do you believe Thanksgiving Eve, 2 weeks from today, so the big day, whatever it's going to be in the 2020 version, I'm sure there will be turkey. I am sure there will be beautiful pies from Mona's Danish Bakery in a wide variety of flavors. And how about a Danish Kringle? That's that fabulous Danish pastry that is filled with just so many. You can have it in almond, a variety of flavors. Check it out, monasdanishbakery.com. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open for lunch, breakfast, lunch, and then they are ready right now to take your order for Thanksgiving. Again, it's monasdanishbakery.com. There's a link at buckmastershow.com to Mona's. I'll see you at Mona's, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Our conversation with Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Paul Cunningham, continues in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowell and Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Guests appear on the Buckmaster Show live line, courtesy Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, Paul Cunningham, Democrat, Tucson Ward Councilman. With us on the Buckmaster Show, Paul, is the Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson. What did you think about the decision, Paul Cunningham, to move forward with a bowl game here on New Year's Eve?
Well, I think they, with TV, the fact that they're playing the season anyway, it's a prudent decision. They don't want to give up their contract. I think a lot of that has to do with financial. There are already COVID measures in place to protect the athletes. Again, philosophically, if there was a way to make it all work, so we wouldn't have to do this. But some of it is for the kids, and some of it is for the university, and a lot of it is economics, and we're going to have to deliver. So it's the same reason why the Pac-12 reopened their football season. If they don't have football, they pay out, $6.5 million to the Pac-12 Conference Network, and if they do have football, they get paid $27 million or something like that. It's some weird numbers like that, and so that's, you're at the mercy of those contracts. And so that's what college sports is going through right now. I think that's what all sports are going through. And there's a semblance of economic survival going on here. And by the way, I don't think I blame anybody for economic survival right now. That's what a lot of people are doing. There's so much uncertainty. There's so many small businesses that are in jeopardy because of going on. There's people who don't know how they're going to be able to pay their rent. And we've got to be vigilant in trying to keep helping each other out as we get through this pandemic.
How about in the city? What is our financial situation as we get ready to close the books on this crazy calendar year?
Well, ironically, what a lot of people might be surprised to hear is that we had done a really good job financially or fiscally over the last two or three years in Tucson. So we not only have enough money to keep the government running for another year or two, but with the HEROES Act and the CARES Act, it actually shored us up a bit. So right now we're fine. We can do business as usual. We're not going to go out and do any major capital improvements or any of that type of stuff right away soon, but we can at least make the investments we need to keep the city running and keep the government running.
My colleague Zach Yenser, with his Tipping Point program, had the police chief on the other day, Chief Magnus, and these numbers give me some concern. 885 sworn positions authorized, but only 766 are filled. Between July 1 and October 31, 19 officers left the Tucson Police Department for other agencies. 8 more are expected to leave in November. This worries me. How about you?
It's a very challenging time to be a police officer. And we've got to remember that not only is it a challenging time to be a police officer, we have to make the necessary sacrifices and investments to ensure that we're not having the attrition rate we have. It's a public safety issue. At the same time, we have to be alarmed by things like this. I mean, we still have to be able to respond to certain things. And I know that there's a lot of different discussions about philosophies on how we can change the police. And so those discussions will be ongoing. But in the meantime, we have to have a responsive, well-equipped, and properly staffed public safety unit.
It's our pay that we're just not keeping up with other cities, are we?
Well, we're not. It seems to me it's kind of like whack-a-mole. We're always one step behind or one different pay area behind where people leave. I also think there's in every department, there's some morale issues and some other issues that are going through. I think that you're seeing that in different departments around the state. But I got to say that right now we have one of the most well-trained, most responsive police departments in the country. I think they've done a very good job in being transparent in with Sentinel incidents. They're reporting them right away 3 days later. And I've really got to tell you that I believe the chief has done a very good job, a bang-up job, trying to get Tucson to the point that not only are we policing the right way, we're demonstrating what to all other municipal departments around the country what a police department can be doing and should be.
What about Prop 101? When does that expire? That pumps some money into the police department, into infrastructure. When does that expire?
I think we have 3 more years left, and after the third year, we may go back to the voters and say, hey, would you like to renew? So those are some of the discussions we're going to have, and it's back and forth. That equipment replacement process has, I think, gone pretty well, and we're going to continue to make those investments so, again, that we're properly equipped and properly staffed.
I've only got about 4 minutes, but what does this mean with a President Biden administration? What does a Biden administration mean for the city of Tucson and perhaps more stimulus money?
Well, I don't want to jump the gun on them. Look, right now I'm just worried about us having a President Biden period. I'm really kind of I get it. They can go through these legal avenues, but I kind of want it to be done. I think the vote was pretty definitive on the presidential piece. I think it's really ridiculous to go out and say that the fix was in it some type when, if you really look at it, the Democrats lost House seats. Some of the Senate seats that they were hoping to turn, they lost. So I'm kind of going, how would you pull off a fix when a lot of the races were won? I mean, how would Adrian Fontes change an election of result against the president when he lost his own election in Maricopa? That's like one of the examples in Maricopa County I just don't understand. So this whole conjecture about the election not being valid is just ludicrous to me. And I can't even believe that people are going down that road. The bottom line is that Biden won the presidency, and we've got to. But I don't believe that Trump is actually going to give it up. I don't think he's going to concede. I think he's going to take this all the way to the Supreme Court, and I think he truly believes that he expects the court that he stacked and packed over the last 4 years to vote him in as president and steal the election from the people of America who voted for the president, the new president, President Biden, and have it decided by 6 Supreme Court people who were appointed to do just that. That's what I think Donald Trump believes right now, and it disgusts me, quite frankly.
But you don't see him ever conceding?
No. I think he's mentally ill.
All right, Paul. Before I let you go, are you still teaching remotely?
Every day.
Is school off today?
Yes.
Right.
I want to say happy Veterans Day to all the veterans and to the guys that I served with, especially the ones who were later deployed. Thinking about you today, you'll get a text. I can't wait to reach out. I usually call a couple of my buddies from the Army every Veterans Day.
What was your Army career like?
I was I was 9 years as a combat medic in 2 reserve units in the National Guard unit here in Tucson.
9 years serving then, huh?
9 years in the guard and reserve. Well, I was still a 1 week and a month guy. Well, I didn't do anything special. But,
wow.
I do respect. I have a lot of respect for the guys who've done that work.
Well, you still raised your right hand and wore the uniform, and that's what counts. And we thank you for your service, Paul Cunningham. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Paul Cunningham, the vice mayor of the city of Tucson. I want to tell everybody now about well, my go-to place for all of the gardening needs, and that's Green Things. Green Things, located on 13 acres, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and Green Things is now gearing up for the holidays. I don't know if folks know it, but most of the poinsettias here in town come from Green Things. That's where they grow them. Greenhouse after greenhouse just filled with poinsettias from, well, just about every imaginable color. And it is a year-round process growing these beautiful plants, and they are ready. So put in your order right now, and so many people right now, nonprofits, are finding ways to, they're not going to be having kind of in-person gatherings this holiday season, but perhaps the poinsettias could be a fundraiser item for your nonprofit. So I would definitely contact Jan and Jack, the owners over at Green Things. GreenThingsAZ.com. Also, the Zocalo Village component of the business. That website is ZocaloVillage.com. And Zocalo Village has some really beautiful merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe, some handcrafted merchandise. Coming up next, a deep dive with Tony Davis, the Arizona Journalist of the Year on Buckmaster.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster, and midweek edition on this Veterans Day, November 11th, 2020. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, where we are bringing Southern Arizonans together right here on the radio. Been doing so now coming up 10 years. Our 10-year anniversary of the Buckmaster Radio Show will launch into a new decade the first couple of days of January on 10:30, Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to reporter Tony Davis of the Arizona Daily Star. Tony was honored earlier this fall as Journalist of the Year by the Arizona Press Club. In honoring Mr. Davis, the Press Club giving their most prestigious annual award, a judge wrote, "Tony Davis's investigative reporting on two Tucson area projects threatening the environment, a housing development near the San Pedro River and the Rosemont Mine, laid bare the political influences that shaped key decisions. He got people to talk on the record, hard to do in these situations, and his reporting had impact. His work made a difference to the region and possibly to future policy." Tony, how are you?
I'm fine. Bill, how are you?
Doing very well, and congratulations. Long overdue. You've worked very hard, spent a lot of time here in Southern Arizona. Mm-hmm. When did you start, Tony, with the Arizona Daily Star?
In January of 1997.
And where were you before that? Give us a little quick bio about Tony Davis.
Well, I had been working for the previous 10 months at the Statesman Journal in Salem, Oregon. And before that, I had worked like 8 years for the Albuquerque Tribune and 9 years for the Tucson Citizen, among other things. But those were the two biggest.
And you spent some time at an outstanding university at Northwestern, the journalism school there. I have a little bit close to my heart because I grew up just a couple of miles from the Northwestern campus.
Right? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, in Wilmette, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
So Northwestern's a great journalism school. Tony, was environmental reporting something that you had been doing in New Mexico and a little bit up in Oregon? Did you pretty much from day one at the Star focus on the environment?
I would started on the environment in 1981, Bill, with the Tucson Citizen. And since then, with 10 months in Salem, I was covering the state government, and I spent some time in southern Seattle suburbs doing some suburban government. But most of the last 40 years has been environment, you know, and it's just a recognition of the importance of that environmental issues to the southern Arizona and New Mexico.
Did your time coincide at the Citizen with Chuck Boden?
Yes. In fact, we sat across from one another for a little more than 3 years, 1981 to 1984. And we got to know each other pretty well. Yes.
Did Chuck influence you at all in your early career?
I would say a lot, yes. You know, because he would talk a lot about water. He'd written this book on water called Killing the Hidden Waters about groundwater pumping and how it had really affected the Tohono O'odham, then known as the Papago tribe, And, you know, a lot of their wells had been pumped dry, and, you know, they were really in a bad shape as a result of that. And a lot of our pumping in the San Javier area south of town had really affected their wells. So he first alerted me to this issue just as I was starting on the job, actually.
When I came to town in 1988, 32 years ago, the environment was a very important issue here in town. Has it lessened a little bit? Let's talk a little bit about, Tony, kind of how environmental reporting and the emphasis on it perhaps has changed over those years.
Well, in response to your first question, you know, I would say that the immigration issue was not nearly as big a deal then or as controversial as it is now. It wasn't in the press at all, and nearly half as much as what it is now. I don't know, and now, of course, it's there all the time. I don't know that it's any more important, but it's a lot more visible. Environmental issues have always been at the core of Tucson and Tucson politics. Water issues remain just as big a deal then as they were in 1981 or even before. You know, I guess you're asking me the emphasis has changed. I mean, with water, in those days, it was, you know, we just need to conserve water and, you know, make sure that there's enough so people can keep moving here and all that. Whereas now you have this really overriding issue about the Colorado River, and is it always going to be enough to support even the current population, you know? And in those days, the Central Arizona Project, which is what brings the water from the Colorado River, was just under construction, and everybody was wondering what was going to happen. But I would say the Colorado River has become an extremely dominant topic now, and it really wasn't so much then. You know, water contamination remains a big issue. I guess the other issue that was not in the limelight at all then, and it is now, is climate change and global warming. They were just starting to talk about it, and there were just a few studies coming out, whereas now it's every day. So I don't think they're any less important. I just think some of them have changed, and some of them have gotten more dramatic and immediate, and some of them have maybe receded into the background.
For folks who have not been around perhaps as long as we have, Tony Davis, back in the late 80s and early 90s, we were very concerned here in Tucson, Arizona, about the groundwater aquifer, perhaps not even having enough water to last us very long. Well, we were running out of water, and I think we were the largest city in the United States that was still totally relying on groundwater, correct?
That is correct, yes.
So talk a little bit about how all of that changed, Tony.
Well, in 1991 or 92, I forgot which year, the Central Arizona Project came online, and that freed us temporarily from our dependence on groundwater. But the way the project water was introduced into the system, they didn't test it properly, they didn't check a whole lot of things, and it proved very corrosive, and it corroded a lot of people's pipes and rotted out walls and stuff like that, and it caused a big furor, you know, and hundreds of people had all kinds of problems with their fixtures and their plumbing, and a lot of people sued, and so they shut the project down for almost 10 years. So we were, again, just pumping, and it was getting to the point by the late 1990s and early 2000s when subsidence was starting to look like it was going to be a big problem. Subsidence is the sinking of the ground due to the compaction of the soil caused by the pumping out of the groundwater, and it can cause a lot of fissuring and stuff. So luckily, at least temporarily, we got the Central Arizona Project back online in 2001. And since then, the water table has risen because we're not pumping hardly anywhere near as much as what we were doing 20 years ago.
Tony, whatever happened with the TCE contamination, which was one of the big stories when I came to town, that's still an issue, isn't it?
Well, they have, how do I say this? The contamination is slowly being pumped out of the ground and cleaned out of the water, and then the water is being served to people once the contamination is removed. And there's still a lot in the ground, but the city insists that that contaminated water is not being served to people anymore. And there are a lot of people down there who don't believe them, and there are still people who are saying they're getting cancer from being exposed to the TCE contaminated water 30 and 40 years ago. So it's still an issue. It's just not as immediate an issue as it was then. And it's been compounded by the fact that in the last 5 years, they discovered what's known as PFAS compounds, which are perfluorinated solvents. And they were used for firefighting, you know, on airports and military bases all over the country. And over the last 5 or 10 years, they've been discovering that in the groundwater, and they're having to worry about what effect that's going to have. And they've got to get money to clean that up, which they don't have yet.
All right. When we continue with Tony Davis, we'll be talking about a housing development, controversial development near the San Pedro River. Of course, we're going to talk about Rosemont Mine. Climate change, we've got those items on the agenda. For reporter Tony Davis, longtime reporter with the Arizona Daily Star, who was named this fall Journalist of the Year by the Arizona Press Club. It's Buckmaster on the Green Things, in the Green Things, Oak Love Village Studios, on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We'll be right back.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of the program presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning for a visit to Silver City. It's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson to a beautiful area of the Southwest, specifically the Southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment. For more on what to do and where to stay, please check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, so you will be ready to return to New Mexico when New Mexico is ready once again to welcome out-of-state visitors. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go back now on the Live Line to longtime Arizona Daily Star reporter Tony Davis, who was named Journalist of the Year by the Arizona Press Club this fall. Tony, are you as worried as I am about climate change and how it's going to impact Tucson? For years, we had talked here in town, what would happen if the monsoon, the summer rains didn't show up? And they didn't show up for all practical purposes, did they?
Yeah, this year there was virtually no rain throughout the summer, and that made the heat a lot worse, and it was already really bad. Because the monsoon is a buffer, you know, it cools us off in the afternoon and the early evening. So without the monsoon, it just got hotter. It's not clear that the lack of monsoon this year or last year is due to climate change. The science has not settled on that yet. You know, there are starting to be an increasing number of scientists who believe that if the warming continues over the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years, that it is going to reduce the monsoon, you know, over the long term. You know, what we've seen so far is just short-term impacts, and it's really important to separate the short-term from the long-term and don't get confused between the two. In terms of being worried about climate change, I mean, I'm concerned about it. I don't want to be alarmist about it, but it's clearly getting hotter here, and this last summer was the hottest summer on record for like 3 or 4 months in a row. That's kind of a misstep. There, a verbal misstep on my part. But it was the hottest July, August, and September on record, and the fifth hottest October. And July and August were the hottest months we've ever had. And there's no question, if you talk to scientists who have any background in climate, that the global warming and the greenhouse gas emissions played a role in that. You know, we're getting hotter all the time, and you'll see these statistics that say the hottest 5 years on record in Tucson and all over Arizona have been in the last 10 years. So the trends are really obvious, and it is a serious concern as to what could happen if this continues, and probably just as big a concern as the discomfort from the heat, which was really oppressive this summer, is the water. The Colorado River, you know, is our biggest water supply, and it's our most reliable water supply. But if it keeps getting hotter, there's going to be more evaporation, the snow's going to melt faster, and the water supply is going to be less. In fact, it's already less than it was 20 years ago out of the river. So, you know, these concerns are very real. I just don't think being alarmed is a really necessary thing. We don't have to be alarmed to try to do something about it.
How about that development over near Benson? It started out as a huge development near the San Pedro River. What's the latest on that, Tony?
Well, the latest on it's the villages at Vignetto, and it would be 28,000 homes about 4 miles west of the river. And the latest on it is the same as it's been for a year. It's stuck in the courts. You know, the Army Corps of Engineers has been sued by environmental groups because they approved a permit under the Clean Water Act that would authorize, you know, the filling of the washes for the project. And it's just, they're now just in legal briefs, you know, batting back and forth against one another. You know, this whole issue that I wrote about and that we broke and got national publicity about the whistleblower with the Fish and Wildlife Service, that hasn't been settled. You know, there's now clear documentation that we've reported on that the Interior Secretary was definitely involved in getting a Fish and Wildlife Service top official to back off on a requirement to do a really detailed environmental analysis of the project. And, you know, how much, whether this was political interference or just legal intervention, is also going to be settled by the courts. So it's in court, and it's just like the Rosemont Mine is also in court. You know, more and more issues are going to the courts. Like our elections.
Rosemont, what's the latest on that, Tony?
Well, a year ago, the district court judge, Judge Soto, overturned the Forest Service's approval of the mine. And it was just getting ready to start construction. And now the mining company, Hudbay Minerals, and the federal government are appealing the ruling. And sometime next year, there's going to be a hearing on it, but with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. I guess the other thing that's worth noting is that the mine also got a permit allowing it to be built by the Army Corps of Engineers again. And that permit was suspended when the judge's ruling came out. And now the Corps is going to be under the direction of a Democratic president, and that could be trouble for the mine. I don't know that it will be. You just never know, because the Corps, before Trump came in, had been very critical of the mine. And since Trump got there, they changed their position. So that's something to keep an eye on.
How about the border wall with the Biden administration? What do you see happening there?
Well, Biden has said he's not going to build any more wall. You know, a lot of environmental groups would like some of it to come down. You know, I have no idea what the outlook is for that. Biden's got to have a lot on his plate. I'm not sure he's going to have the wherewithal to do something like that when he's dealing with the COVID and the economic collapse. But I think if he says he's not going to build any more wall, I think that's a reasonable assurance.
How much wall has been built here in Arizona? Do you have any idea?
It's a couple. You know, I got to be careful in that. I haven't been covering it.
Okay.
You know, it's over 100 miles, and there's a lot more to build, and it's under construction now at Oregon Pipe, you know, Oregon Pipe National Monument and San Bernardino National Wildlife Refuge and the San Pedro River.
Tony, I've only got a minute or so left. What's your take on your industry? Where are you headed?
Well, you know, the local news business was already economically stressed when the pandemic hit. And as a result of the pandemic, we lost more advertising than we already had. It's been hard. We have survived. We've had a couple of cuts, but you know, otherwise we're pretty stable. I don't know what the future is going to be, because I don't know how long this pandemic is going to last. We've gotten a lot more readers because of the pandemic, a lot more subscribers online, and that's positive. But the real issue for the long term is advertising, and advertising revenue is migrating to things like Google and Facebook, and the industry has not come up with an alternative. And so the outlook is not necessarily great.
Well, the outlook for you is great. I congratulate you very much, Tony, Journalist of the Year by the Arizona Press Club. You've done great work over the years, and I'm sure it will continue. Thank you,
sir. I hope so. Thank you very much, Bill. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Okay?
Thank you very much. Reporter Tony Davis, longtime reporter with the Arizona Daily Star, named earlier this year by the Arizona Press Club as Journalist of the Year. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. On this Veterans Day, I want to thank Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. We've got Dave Ramsey talking about money. Dave's always got a lot to say about how you budget your money. Coming up tomorrow, Jeff Silvertooth, our Buckmaster Show contributor on agriculture. Yes, there's been another recall on romaine lettuce. We'll get the latest on that and more with Dr. Silvertooth. On behalf of the team here at Bustos Media, hope you have a great afternoon.